is basically our point guard, two guard, guarding their power forward, and he says, get that out of here. Brown, with two, stands down onto the Kumpo. 5 remaining. Tatum drives down.
Another episode of Celtics Pulse, part of the Pulse Podcast Network. I am hosting today. My name is Tim. You can find me at Return of the Boy on Twitter, and I'm joined by Wayne today.
Yes, sir. What's good, everybody? How you doing?
And we are covering the final of these last two games between the Celtics and the Pacers. We had a sweep. Before we get into that, I do want to give a shout out to our promos on here. We've got Thrive Fantasy, which is a fantasy betting app using prop bets covering all major sports. The link is in our bio on Celtics_Pulse. That's our Twitter handle. Use that link. It double your first deposit. It's essentially free money, so check it out. Be sure to use our promo code and enjoy a new spin on your fantasy sports experience. The other promo I want to give a shout out to is Podcoin. It's a brand new app that lets you earn cash by listening to all your favorite podcasts. Earn points for every 10 minutes of listening and use your points to redeem prizes such like gift cards and other rewards. So please be sure to check out Podcoin and reap the benefits of listening to your favorite podcasts. So jumping into today, we didn't get in the pod in between games 3 and 4, but man, we had quite a series wrap up. We had game 3 ending in a final score of 104-96. And this past Sunday, we had 110-106 being the final score. Celtics winning back-to-back road games, winning 4 straight. Wayne, what are your initial thoughts coming out of games 3 and 4?
Let's see, man. Going on the road, we knew it was going to be tough. Kyrie Irving said that was going to be their real test. They were going to go on the road to Indiana and have to take on a pretty mad Indiana team who knew they needed to get that first win at home. We knew it wasn't going to be easy, but let's talk about who was hot game 3. I mean, Jaylen Brown sighting. Am I right? I mean, Jaylen Brown came and he did everything that we knew he could do in a playoff game. What did Jaylen Brown finish with that? He had 23.7 rebounds, 1 assist, and he had a plus 13. And we needed that from Jaylen. He started off 8 for 8.
He
missed the shot.
He went 8 for 9, and he almost could have tied what Hayward did last time we were in Indiana, which is the crazy thing. Last time we were in Indiana, Hayward went 9 for 9. And he was one of the first Celtics to do it since like 1986, since Kevin McHale, to come off the bench and drop perfect shooting on 9 or more shots. It's just like insanity. And this is where we're running into now, especially once we touch upon game 4, where Gordon Hayward just erupted. You've got all these wings that can do all these different things. You've got defensive specialists who are able to come into the game off your bench, and they just have this amazing shooting stroke once they get going. So it's like, I don't know what the starting lineup is going to be against the Bucks, because you're going against such a tough lineup with Giannis at that 5 spot. Do you go big or do you try and go small and you have Horford covering him, or do you try and save Horford's minutes at the 5 spot for crunch time, because that's when you know Giannis is going to be out there? But, man, you have back-to-back performances on the road, big games from Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward. Those guys are going to be crucial.
The X Factor.
Gordon looked amazing, bro. Gordon, good.
I call him Gordon X. If you're a Celtic fan and you followed when they signed Gordon Hayward and you knew you were going to get that Utah Gordon Hayward, and he ended up getting injured and it kind of derailed, and then his comeback was kind of slow and he was a liability on defense, and I still think he gets beat on D by certain players, not all the time. I think it's just certain players got the one up on him. I thought the Bogdanovich was a tough matchup for him, but I tell you what, that game 4, talk about erupt. Like Gordon Hayward has definitely lit the spark and the Celtic game plan, and I think it was part of the plan the whole time. You just mentioned the Celtics having like these wings, and I remember arguing with people you know, other sports fans on other sports shows about Celtics have too many wings, blah, 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 blah. You know when you're going to notice the wing factor in the playoffs? Why? Because of size, number one. Number two, because now you got different wings that can do almost the same thing. It's like Hayward could do what Brown can do, Brown could do what Hayward could do, Tatum could do what Brown and Hayward could do. You got these wing players that are like interchangeable, so when you take one out, it's like they're not skipping a beat.
Yeah, and the thing is, you're having that guy come off the bench. Whoever you're not starting is leading your bench unit, and that's got to be soul crushing because you have to, if you look at it in the grand scheme of things, even if you have Brown start, you have Hayward start, you got the other one coming off your bench to be what, your sixth man
or your sixth man?
Yeah, that's just and it helps too because you're gonna have Smart out too. So once you get Smart back in there, oof.
And I think we'll see. I think depending on the series, I believe we'll split the first two games. I just believe we'll split the first two. I've been going back. I think Marcus Smart plays game three. I just do. I just have this funny feeling.
Especially if the Pistons could somehow extend the series, even just steal a game. I don't know if you watched it.
If they could win tonight, that would be like the greatest gift. Other than Christmas gifts, that would be perfect, right? Because we just need a little bit more time for him to just get some more work in, get some more rest in, more healing. If people don't know, he tore his oblique, and his left oblique, and it takes time. It hurts.
4 to 6 weeks, I think, was the original timetable for the injury.
And that's for a normal player. I mean, we talk about Marcus Smart. We're talking about a guy.
You know he's gonna rush back. That's the problem.
Yeah. He wanted to play when his dumb behind broke his hand through the window. He wanted to play. Like I just love Marcus Smart. You know, like when he comes back, he's definitely going to be a piece. But you know what? I believe Ainge and I believe Stevens. They won't rush him back. I think we're going to be. I think we're going to be super fine. I know we're not really talking much about the recap of the games. We're already looking forward to playing the Bucks. I think we're going to be fine. The biggest factor, and I think you mentioned it, was Al Horford. Al Horford is the big factor in this series. When Al Horford played in those two games, it was a plus, and we won. When Al Horford didn't play in the two games, we got beat by like 13 points. I think Al Horford, going into this series, knows exactly what time it is. I like how different players are turning it up on different levels. I do want to talk a little bit about Kyrie's play in game four. I don't know if they saw, but Kyrie ended up getting like, you know, fighting that one screen, got that screen
to the chest. Yeah.
Yeah. And then after that, he was kind of different. I don't know if you noticed that. He was a little different.
A little shook up, I think.
I think it hurt and it affected his game a little bit. He was a little off afterwards. I mean, he still finished with, did he finish with 19, I think?
I got the box score. Hang on, let me check.
Game four, I believe he still finished. I know he had 19 in game three.
So for Gordon's stats, looking at the full box score, hang on 1 second, it's still loading on my phone. For Irving, he shot 4 for 13 from the field, 0 for 4 from 3.
Yeah, it's tough.
14 points in 37 minutes. So I don't know how much of that was that bump that he took in that screen or if it's just burnout. Either way, it was really cool to see the Celtics, like the rest of the Celtics roster, really
like come together and man up.
One interesting thing about the entire series, too, is now that I'm pulling up on ESPN, for every single game, a Celtic had the game high in points. Game one was Morris in that 84-74 win. He had 20 points. Yep. Irving with 37 with that eruption in game two. Brown had 23, and then Hayward had 20. So those were all four top scorers for those first four games. All were Celtics. And as we said before about those wing spots, three of the four scorers, obviously Kyrie Irving not being a surprise there with the points explosion, but three of those four scorers are at the wing spot. You know, players that can play, you know, Brown can play spots at the two, as can Gordon, but guys who naturally play the three and four spots in your lineup. So how does that, you know, how does that impact your series going against the Bucks? Because what are you looking at wing spot depth there for Milwaukee? I mean, Middleton's nasty.
They have Middleton. They have another shooter.
Miritic too. But I consider him a stretch five almost, or more like a stretch four.
I mean, he's a four, right? So, but that's still the wing, right? I mean, I guess that's the post. I guess that's your post. That's one of your backcourt players. I mean, I don't know. They got Ilyasova too, they got some shooters.
Ilyasova. Well, and that's gonna be the real test in this series is how they're gonna handle Milwaukee's bigs. And as you were saying, Horford is gonna be huge in this because you need him to be healthy. And one thing that Detroit doesn't have, and I watched game three of that series, and I had to turn it off towards the end because it just got bad. I mean, I think the Pistons' problem really is Blake Griffin is not playing healthy. And good for him for, tucking her in and out, but right. I mean, he had a great stat line in game three, but the Pistons just couldn't overcome it.
And he changed Giannis's gameplay. Giannis getting score but a point in the first quarter, that's all Blake Griffin.
I don't know how many points he had for the whole game, too, either. I think he had maybe a little over 10 points. At one point, he checked out with five fouls, and he had 10 points. But the thing was, the Bucks were up by, 15.
Yeah, man, they couldn't stop Bledsoe, bro. I kept telling you, that guy is a menace. But see, here's the thing. I don't know. We swept probably one of the best defensive teams. Even without Oladipo, they're still top three in defense.
They're top three, which is crazy. Jeez. I don't think the only other team that's going to be more gruesome defensively for them is probably going to be if they somehow go against Toronto. I think just because of Kawhi. And then inside, Giannis is going to crush you, but I don't know where they rank defensively for the Bucks. But
yeah.
You just fought against a team that was desperate, back against the wall, just vicious, clawing for every single inch, and you swept them. And you won two games on the road, which has been your biggest problem this year. If they could take a single game against Milwaukee, that's you need to take one game in the beginning, and then it's
that's it.
Just monumentally easier.
I think the Celtics win game one, and then it's. And I'm not saying it's smooth sailing after that.
It's gonna be
that's
brutal.
Just that. That's their confidence boost right there. They've already won in Milwaukee, but it's not playoff time. But they've already won in Milwaukee during the regular season. It's going to be smooth. It's going to be such a cool vibe to watch Kyrie go at Giannis. That's the matchup that you're going to get. I know they don't defend one another, but you're going to see them try to put. You're going to see Giannis the mismatch. Just the fans better get ready, Kyrie. Is putting on his big boy pants, and he is going to, have to do what he got to do. I expect to see Simi play in this series. Yeah. I expect to see a little bit of the rookie in this series. Whatever it takes, because Baynes is going to get in foul trouble, so you're going to have to play Robert Williams. And if you need somebody to muscle up on Giannis, you got to play Simi. You gotta play Simi. Blake Griffin did.
Because it worked last year. The question is how effective is it going to be in the matchup this year, man? I think
the difference is they got more shooters now, right? We do know they get Brogdon back, right? Brogdon's supposed to play in the second round, all right? We don't know how well of a status he's going to play at coming back off of that injury, right? He's just going to be healthy, but we don't know how well he's going to play in his first game back. So hopefully he'll get bench work. The only person that bothers me. It's freaking Chris Middleton. He's the matchup nightmare against us. It's not Bledsoe.
He doesn't mix. He doesn't miss.
Is it because he has height? Because aren't they the same height?
I think it's his wingspan. I think he's got really long arms. And he's just a knockdown shooter. He really is a knockdown shooter. One thing I will say is I think it's going underrated how good Tatum was in those four games. I think it's because we were, We were caught up in Kyrie, we were caught up in Brown, we were caught up in Hayward. But the final stat lines for those first four games is Hayward was dropping about 19 points a game, shooting, I think, 51% from the field overall, and then 53% from three. That is going to be huge, because if you've got him doing that, and then you're going to mix in Hayward, who's got that newfound confidence after closing out on the road in Indy, I don't know, man. Like, there's a lot to work with there on the Celtics side of things, and I think it's going to be crucial for our bench unit to have a time with them. Because if you got Terry, who's going to be involved, who's going to have that, all right, you know what, I took these guys to church last year, and you've got Hayward, who's got that, you know, he's been, I don't know, revitalized, I guess, after the series with Indy. There's a lot of things going in the Celtics' favor. One of that is the fact that they had that tough matchup, man.
They had the tough, And don't forget, I know he takes some weird, awkward, unorthodox shots, but don't sleep on Marcus Morris in this series. I would not sleep on Marcus Morris in this series. I like our matchups, yo. I wish I had Milwaukee's lineup right in front of me, but I do know I love our matchups. The fact that Gordon Hayward is taking it to the paint and drawing contact and finishing at the rim and all the stuff we didn't see throughout the regular season that we're seeing now is like, oh my gosh, like what is going on? Like this is like this is what Celtics fans have been waiting for. It's like they're slowly like taking off. You know, sheaves of clothing on him and just letting him be the beast that he is. Like you said, Hayward is the X factor, man. And in this series, I don't think defensively they can defend our wings. I think we got to defend their shooters. I think they can stretch the floor. I think they'll keep Al Horford off the paint because Brick Lopez all of a sudden is like a 50% three-point shooter.
He
don't know where
is
that came.
Sneaky good, man. When he was was with the Lakers during that season, he was so sneaky good from our. No, he absolutely did. He's one of those sneaky pickups, man. He's one that scares me off the bench.
I need the New Jersey Nets, Brook Lopez, the down low Brook Lopez to come back. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, and they play. I don't know if you noticed, but they kind of like play the same game we play. Like they play the same game. The difference is they have a Giannis at 7'1", bringing the ball down the court. And that's why I said you're going to see the mismatches with Kyrie on them. That's why this is when we're going to, like, miss Marcus Smart. Because Smart would run point, Kyrie would play off ball a lot. You know what I mean? Like,
no, I see
this is where you're going to miss it. And I don't think Rozier is going to try to, you know, want to defend him. I do think you would see Rozier would be more of a scorer in this series. He's going to be more of a catch and shoot off the, like, boom, boom, boom. I do think you'll see that. And I prefer that. I even prefer Marcus Morris to play maybe, like, a better defense on the Mirotić or the Ilyasova. Like, one of those cats. Like, just stay on them.
I think
keep
Tice
your hand in your
big.
Face.
I think Tice is going to be big in this to go against guys like Ilyasova and Mirotić. Okay. Just because he's one of those mobile bigs. I think with a guy
like
Baynes,
that.
they'll go attack him at the paint. But I think you need someone on the perimeter who can really – you know, challenge. And the thing is, when you see guys like Mirotić and Ilyasova, those guys are most likely going to be coming off your bench. So it's just really a matter of how you match their size, because that's the one thing they have over you, beyond the fact that they just have Giannis, is just they have a lot of size at the 4 and 5. And that's something that the Celtics have lacked for a while, just because of the natural construction of this Stevens lineup. Like, the roster isn't like that.
Right, and I mean, because he doesn't believe that there's a 1 through 5. You know what I'm saying? Like,
ball handlers,
right? That's the thing. And it, I mean, and I get it. Look, like I said, Horford is a plus in this game. For some reason, he just matches up well with playing against this team. It's experience, and that's the one thing we got that people don't talk about. I'm tired of them trashing the Celtics, blah, 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 blah. I'm just going to sit back, bro, and I ain't saying nothing. I'm going to watch the Celtics win this series, and I know it's not the championship game. I know, but I am going to let something out. It's going to be a little something, because no one is respecting what they're doing because of all the off-the-court issues they had as a team throughout the regular season. But people are not forgetting, the regular season has been over for 2 weeks. Yeah. We're in the playoffs, baby. Like, it's a totally different mindset. And who cares what they did in the season?
Fredo mixtape. Fredo fucking mixtape. Talking shit about the Celtics, being like, oh, like, they're going to get swept by the Bucks. I'm like, what are the Knicks doing, man? Like, what are the Knicks doing? I've never quite met a fan base or like heard about a fan base that is so entitled after accomplishing absolutely fucking nothing. The only other franchise that is up there is the 76ers. And look, 76ers have a good roster, but Embiid making 3-1 jokes, it's like, yeah, make it to the Eastern Conference Finals before you start taking jabs at the champs, okay?
Like, there you go.
Yeah, I mean, like, oh, yeah, yeah, oh, yeah, the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead. Well, guess what they did in the offseason? They went out and they got Kevin Durant, and the rest of the league has been miserable ever since. So
ever since.
It's not really funny to laugh about anymore. Like, you know, like, you can take all the shots you want at the Warriors, but they lost the 3-1 series, and then they went out and they got arguably the best player on the planet. Or in that top three best player in the league, you know? So
he's definitely the best player in the planet, bro.
Right now, absolutely. Especially with the fall off we see with LeBron, man. Getting back to the Bucks though, so I pulled up their roster and everything. It's a soft timetable. The internal belief is that Brogdon will be back for the semifinals. Dante DiVincenzo's out, and as of March 23rd, Gasol was supposed to be out for a month. I don't know how that's going to happen just because he is on the older side, so his health is kind of questionable to begin with. But outside of those players, outside of that, you're obviously going to have Giannis starting at the five. You've got Eric Bledsoe, Brogdon pending his injury. You got Sterling Brown, who low-key is like really, really explosive. As I was watching that Pistons game, he had a couple series of just really nice dunks. They got former Massachusetts guy Pat Connaughton, Tim Frazier, George Hill, Ilyasova, Lopez, Chris Middleton, Mirotic, Schnell. And that's pretty much what makes up most of their roster outside of a couple other guys. So I think when you're looking at that lineup there, I mean, the one thing that's going to get you is the size at the 4 and 5.
Size at the 4 and 5. That's it.
I think the wings, I mean, when it comes to wings, I think like the Celtics are just going to crush them. And that's really, it's a matter of who they're going to start and who you're going to have coming off the bench. But either way, I just think.
I think you go. More shooters. I think you go Kyrie, you go Brown, you go Tatum.
Mook. And
I think you go Mook and Horford, bro.
And then see how the bench unit goes, too. Because you can speak.
And the reason why I say that is because you got, like, if you put your bigs in, if you get your bigs in there, you can definitely, like savor them for the whole game. Because if not, they're going to fall out, like, third quarter, you know. Like, I'd rather not start Baines and have Baines and Tice maybe, like, rotate in there when you need, like, because you want to force them to go inside. If you force them to shoot, I don't know. Like, I'm worried about Snell on the wing. I know he can hit that shot. And Bledsoe, I'm not worried about him shooting. I think he's going to end up shooting bad because he's going to have to shoot oversized. So he's going to try to dish the ball. Like, you're going to see a lot of Giannis ball in this series. Giannis wants to beat the Celtics more than anybody else on that team. You're going to see that.
I think it's Giannis and I think it's Bledsoe who are going to have the biggest chips on their shoulders. But I think Bledsoe's going to start seeing ghosts. I think he's going to start seeing ghosts, and he's going to crumble mentally.
I think somehow he folds. Like, he doesn't fold as bad as Kyle Lowry, but he folds. I'm telling you. Isn't this the series? the Scary Terry series?
Fun fact, I was at that Game 7, bro. So, like, I went to Game 2, and to give a little backstory to this story. I had basically bought these tickets for game two, and I have a ticket connection through my sister, someone that works in the Celtics organization and like works in their ticketing sales, and like they get a certain allotment of tickets, and you know, whatever they don't use, they're free to do with as they please. So I ended up getting an offer for like game seven tickets, and it's like, okay, if it doesn't turn into game seven tickets, then it rolls over to the next series. So I was like, okay, like, not a problem, fine. And it was like, you know, low seats for like an absurd price, like really compared to like what they are usually. It's, you know, so I'm like, yeah, like what could possibly happen? Like, what are the odds of them going to seven? Like, not a problem. So like, I go ahead and attend game two, and I'm like, great, we're up 2-0, great. And I'm like watching the rest of the series, and I'm like, there's no way this goes to seven, right? And he's like, no way, there's no way. And like, I'm at work, like, looking at the highlights and just like, okay, all right, all right. And we get around to game six. Game six wraps up. I'm like, son of a bitch, this is going seven games.
I went
with my dad, and I remember just sitting there. Drew Bledsoe was there. The chanting, who is Bledsoe? Oh, my God. I've never been in a more electric environment. And I went to opening game this year when Hayward came back. So, like, it was absolutely insane. Just one of the best experiences I've ever had. So, I'm really interested to see how this series goes with so much just animosity and drama both on and off the court between both of these teams, and just the way fans are talking about it. I think they're underestimating the Celtics. I have an immense amount of respect for the Bucks, but I think they just didn't get challenged that first round, man. I don't think this Pistons series has been that challenging. And part of that was, like, I originally thought that this series is going to be a lot more challenging because of Blake Griffin, because of the way he's played this year. And then,
it's his injury, man.
Game three, he played great, and he was still hampered. But DeAndre Jordan is almost unplayable, and I thought he was going to be great against Giannis.
Not Jordan. Drummond.
Drummond. God damn. Forgive
me. He was missing floaters.
Well, he was getting killed away from the basket.
Yo, I'm trying to tell you, the boys ain't ready, man. And look, the Bucks got one goal in mind. I love it. And they said they got to come. I know we got to go play them, but Boston ain't no tease, bro. And the Celtics are going to fight like they always do. That's what we are. We are fighters. Like, I can't wait. I'm so excited for this series. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to the future. I'm staying stuck on this. I think Celtics in six. I know I'm crazy. But I think that's what it's going to be.
I think that's fair, man. And I just, going back to Drummond. Sorry, my God, Drummond. I expected more from Andre Drummond. You know, I expected him to play better. You know, I thought he was going to give more of a fight, and he didn't. As I said, like, in game three, you know, Drummond and Giannis both got into foul trouble, like, pretty quickly. Like, they both were not having good
games.
Yeah, that was it. You got Giannis in foul trouble. Like, that was the formula. But, like, their guard play actually killed them. Like, Reggie Jackson had a great game. Like, he was hitting shots from deep, but, like,
he was hitting shots, yep.
Ish Smith was cheeks. Kennard wasn't, you know, particularly great. I just don't think that the Bucks got challenged round one. I think, obviously, it's like, oh, yeah, you're going against an 8 seed, but I feel like if they went against the Hornets, it would have been more difficult. If they went against, you know, the Heat, it would have been more difficult. And it kind
of
sucks because...
Or Brooklyn, or any of these other teams that came in here, because they got scrappy players. Like you said, with Blake being out, it just changed the whole dynamic of the game. It changed.
It sucks, it's like, man. I don't enjoy watching shitty playoffs. I don't know about you.
Ever, though. Like, it seems like it's not, but it should be. And then you're Brook Lopez hitting far away. It's just like,
it's a little gross to see him do that, because you, like, don't expect it out of him.
No, he's old, but he's, like, amazing. And I wanted the Celtics to get him at one point. I'm not going to lie.
I definitely wanted him. Yeah, no, he was one of those guys that I had pegged going somewhere good in the offseason. Yeah. He went to the Bucks.
When I think of a big man, I like him. Now that I know he can shoot, I like him even more because we like to stretch the floor. I like Al Horford, but he gets beat every now and then with size. So when you put a bigger big man on Al, it affects his play a little bit. It doesn't mean he's going to play worse. It's just you don't see the offensive Al. But you are, like, I think one thing that Al does is play defense. He's not Kevin Garnett defense, but he's definitely the general on D.
I mean, I don't know, man. Like, this series is just going to be so interesting because of the history. You know, it went seven last year. My tendency is to think it's going to end in five. It might. It honestly might. Especially, you know, what we didn't talk about early in the pod is with that Pacers game four. It felt like the refs were trying to stretch that series out. It felt like that. Listen, man.
The offensive fouls they were calling, the phantom offensive fouls, the one offensive foul where Gordon Hayward got the dunk and Baines fell down, and that was an offensive foul. Right. You get what I'm pissed. Saying?
I don't care. That was still an amazing dunk. I'll run with it, but like, come on, man. Like, what was
and how
that?
How do you not give Hayward that dunk after he got dunked on? That would have been the perfect recap.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that would have been perfect, but no. They said that he pushed off, and I'm trying to figure out how does a guy fall down if he's pushing off? Like, that doesn't make any sense. Because the dude, if Baines was trying to get position for a rebound, they said that he cleared the space. He didn't clear the space. They were flopping the whole game.
Yeah,
they wasn't
good,
flopping,
man.
Like, the James Harden flop, which was like, what?
Oh, that was bad.
Yo, like I'm like, wait a minute. I've never seen James Harden flop like that.
People Jeez. Were talking about like, oh, like when you eat that Popeye's biscuit without your drink.
His hands
immediately go to it, bro. That is definitely going to get like created into a GIF if somehow the Rockets choke in the playoffs this year. Like it's going to be made into a meme, no doubt.
That's going to be the greatest gif of all time.
That
yo.
Is a sin, bro. It is a sin. I cannot believe that he gets away with that shit. Did they call that a foul?
Yeah, they called it a foul.
Oh, God damn it.
That's why.
That
that's
pisses
why
me off so much, bro. Unbelievable.
Yo, he gets
straight up a sin that happens.
Call in the book, yo. He gets calls that are not even in the book. And I'm saying to myself, I know Kyrie tries to avoid contact, but he's clearly getting hit. If the shot's being altered, something's happening. Like, can you just blow the whistle? And it's not Kyrie. It's like the refs don't like Boston. No matter who we got on our team, they don't get foul calls. It doesn't matter who it is.
I think part of it, too, is they're trying to make these playoffs more interesting. And it's not like some elaborate ruse. I don't think this just happens to solely Boston. I was watching the series between the 76ers and the Nets. There was a lot of just... I don't know if you caught the end of the last game.
It was on
Saturday. That was...
Yep.
Jared Allen had his freaking wallet taken, man. Like, what was that? What was that finish?
First of all, he was fouled five times.
Easily.
Wait a minute, though. That's the same junk that happened to Horford in the game. It's like... When they get if the guys is reaching, I know they're not all hitting the ball at the same time.
It's just
you know
not
what I'm saying?
Happen. Yeah, I mean,
he's
like,
getting touched. And then if Jared would have moved his elbows to clear space, it would have been an offensive foul.
He should have yelled. That's what he should have done. one of my buddies used to play like high school ball, and you know, he
should have called
say,
him out.
His coach was like, you know. All you have to do, like, when trying to draw a foul is, you know, drive to the rim, create contact, and just scream. just yell. And, like, that's – it kind of sucks because
– young.
Well, I mean, like, you see with, like, guys like James Harden and, you know, Chris Paul, too. They're very guilty of creating contact. They just create this contact, and then they just, like, scream or, like, you know, just dramatize the whole thing, and it's just –
They got the State Farm's joint down pat, bro.
Yo,
it's ridiculous.
Grifting at its finest, man. And you know, it is what it is. It has its place in the league, and it's not to say that, like, I mean, come on, like, Marcus Smart is notorious for flopping. Marcus Smart is notorious for drawing charges and offensive fouls. Like, that's it is still has a place in the game, but it gets to a point, people. Like, it gets to a point where you just gotta. Just figure it out. Like, as an officiating crew, you kind of have to figure out what the hell you're doing. Because it's not called consistently. And I feel like half the time in the playoffs, it's like they'll call a bunch of fouls early on in the game. And then it's like when the game's out of hand towards the end of it, they'll start calling fouls for the other team. So, like, if you just look solely at the box score, it's like, oh, yeah, everything's fine. Because it evens out at the end. But, like, if you're calling fouls for the opposing team, when the game's already out of reach, then it's like, okay, well, I would have liked this, you know, maybe like 20 minutes ago, like when we were, you know, down by five, and then we just started getting hacked. So, like, I don't know. The NBA still has a lot, you know, to deal with in that regard. There's still, like, a lot of bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. And, I mean, they had it earlier in the year, too, with Kevin Durant, like, his foot clearly being out of bounds trying to save a ball. Like, there's a lot of instances, and maybe, you know, maybe this happened, like, way back when, back in, like, the 80s and the 90s. And the only reason it's really a talking point now is because of the technology we have and social media. But if you're under that much of a microscope, you got to get it right in the playoffs, you know? But either way, regardless of refs, I think I have to agree with you. I think the Bucks series goes 5 or 6. I think the Celtics win it in 6. But I hope it's shorter than that. I hope the Celtics come out on top. Personally, yeah, for me, I it's going to be a matter of if the Pistons can stretch this series out a little bit. It's kind of like a double-edged sword there because it gives Marcus Smart more resting time. It also gives Al Horford more resting time, but it's also going to let potentially Malcolm Brogdon enter the picture in round two. But
he's always been a problem for us. He's always been a problem. Him and Chris Middleton. That's why I know they got more players to rotate the ball to, but it doesn't bother me like it does. Like right now, I'm watching Detroit get the best of these dudes. Right now, I'm not saying it's going to end that way, but right now, Detroit is giving them the business.
What's the score right now?
It's 18-8. With 7 minutes to go in the first. But my point is, like, I think you know, Blake is going to be Blake tonight. I guarantee that. And I know he don't want to go home. That's why they brought him here. So, look. And Dwayne Casey's a pretty good coach. You know, he was coach of the year last year. He's working with the unit he got. I would love to see them lose one game though.
Yeah.
I would love to see the invincible Bucks lose a game. That's just what I want to see. But it is what it is. Let's go. Also, when do we play? Wednesday?
No, it'll be longer than that because you have to let this series wrap up. That's the problem. So we're waiting for this Bucks Pistons series to wrap up. I think it won't be going on until almost next week. I think
that's what I meant. Next week. You mean next week.
Yeah, I mean, like, not this upcoming week, but it'll be, like, a whole week from now, which is the thing. It's important that they swept because they have to give, like, X amount of days for teams to get a little bit more rest and the series will start up. So I think at earliest, I think it starts by Monday of next week, but I'm not really sure. I think it also depends on how long this Pistons series goes out. So Pistons manage to steal a game.
Probably Sunday.
That's correct.
Sunday, 1 o'clock. That's the Celtic time. Mm-hmm. That's the East Coast standard time, and it'll probably be Sunday at 1, depending on what the outcome of today is.
Hey man, fingers crossed that the Bucks lose at least one of these games. You know, because if they win tonight, it's all out, and it'll probably be that game, maybe even early as a Saturday, but I don't know. That's the one thing with the NBA schedule is it's all dependent on these outcomes of these other games. So.
Woo!
76ers play today, right?
They play. I don't know. I know Blake Griffin just banged on the Bucks.
Woo! Alrighty, man. All
right, bro.
I think other than that, I think we're all done for today. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this Celtics Pulse as we kind of vent out about the refs and hopefully looking forward to this series versus the Bucks. Other than that, thank you for listening today. My name's Tim. You can find me on Twitter at Return of the Boy, joined by Wayne today. You can give us a follow, and we're on Celtics_Pulse. That's on Twitter. Please give us a shout-out. And other than that, have a good one. Go Seas.
Go Seas.